I called the president. President, we need the National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back, Jack. And it is
4-1. Jackson has it. The All-American tight end is going in. And Oklahoma takes the lead on a 71-yard touchdown play.
I was going to rip his heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lex is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody as ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston.
Yo. And welcome back. Oh, shit. Let me try that again. Welcome back to the Fix Sports Podcast, which is the realest, blackest, and funniest sports podcast you have ever heard in your entire life. I'm coming straight from the south, going down. Audio Shop Talk brought to you right in your ear hole by yours truly, Joseph Ward, right here on the Freedom Train Network at www.freedomtrainradio.com. Right here. Well, we get it in. This is the Fit Sports Podcast, episode 29, part one. And I say part one because coming this week, I decided to bust in your head with two pieces of content on this day. So right now, I have out my interview with a good friend of mine, former Florida State football player, who's now an electrical engineer. And I interviewed him for my Life After Sports segment. So there's the Mr. Marlon Napier interview is available right now on YouTube. It's available right now on the website, www.freedomtrainradio.com. So the video is out now. The audio for that interview will be re-released in a couple of weeks. So I'm going to tell y'all right now, of course, you know this episode 29, so we have two more episodes in this season. So with that being said, as you all know, well, if you are new to the Fix, after 31 episodes, I take like a three-week reboot so I can get my stuff together for the next season, for season six, because we're coming back with season six, right? So about 3 weeks to reboot, and within those 3 weeks, normally I wouldn't put out content, but I'm basically stopped doing that, so I have Marlon Napier interview and a couple other interviews for you during that three-week rebooting stretch, right? So that's why I say the audio for the Marlon Napier interview will be re-released. But that interview is out right now, so make sure you go to either go to our YouTube channel, Freedom Train Network. Go to the Freedom Train Network. Go to YouTube, type in Freedom Train Network, bam, subscribe. Subscribe to the Freedom Train Network YouTube channel. Like, comment, subscribe. Make sure you hit that ding bell button so you can be down with the squid art, right? And that way you always know what's going on. Also, make sure y'all go to our Freedom Train website to download our app. So for our Android users, like, we want to have an app for the Apple people. But Apple don't want y'all to have an app with all the hoops and stuff they try to make you jump through to get your app into the App Store. And then they try to take all your money. So right now, we just got it for Android because it's a bit easier in the Google Play Store. It's more smarter. So, but yeah, man, get the app. That way you can be down with everything that we got going on. You can stay in touch. It's an equivalent to joining an email list. You have all types of content, all types of information right there. And we can send it to you right through the app. What else? Make sure y'all support The Fix on Patreon. You heard me? Patreon.com/TheFix. Make sure y'all support your homeboy because all the contributions that's going to go to building The Fix up, making this truly, truly the number one sports podcast in the land. And also gives me access to capital to do more in my community. Because this is just more than just me talking. I like to walk what I talk, and I like to do. I like to make sure my community is straight, so it allowed me to do more in my community. So patreon.com/thefix. And that way, when you become a patron, you get to see the video of this podcast. So, because right now, a lot of y'all only got access to the audio. And if you subscribe to the YouTube channel, which I know you're going to do, I know you're subscribing to the YouTube channel right now. Right now, you subscribe to the Freedom Train Network YouTube channel. I know you did. So when you subscribe to the YouTube channel, you're only going to get a piece of these videos. But if you want the whole video and other stuff and access to exclusive content that we got coming up, make sure you become a patron. Patreon.com/TheFix. You heard me? And, so remember that, not the Freedom Train, that's the overall network. Remember, the Fix Sports Podcast is brought to you by On the Shoulders of Giants. And On the Shoulders of Giants brings you African history at your fingertips and on the go. Through the African History Book Series, the African History Blog, the On the Shoulders of Giants YouTube channel, make sure you subscribe. That's another YouTube channel to subscribe. On the Shoulders of Giants, make sure you subscribe, or you can go to youtube.com/OnTheShoulders1. Make sure you subscribe, like, comment, subscribe, tell a friend about On the Shoulders of Giants. Also, there's a On the Shoulders of Giants African History Curriculum app, which is available on the website at OnTheShoulders1.com. There's the On the Shoulders of Giants online course. There's the On the Shoulders of Giants nonprofit organization, and as well as virtual classes, virtual courses, virtual educational sessions are all available. All you gotta do is visit the website, and you can subscribe. And website once again, www.ontheshouldersone.com. You can also become a patron for On the Shoulders of Giants at patreon.com/OTSOG. All type of incentives for the different tiers that you sign up for. So the actual online course is the actual incentive for a tier. So make sure you become a patron at patreon.com/OTSOG. All right, so episode 29. Today, one of them holidays, Labor Day, Memorial Day. So I don't know. I really don't know. Let me look at my calendar so I can kind of tell me. My calendar's going to tell me. I just know. Labor Day. Yeah, the Labor Day. Today, Labor Day. One time for that. But yeah, I just know I was off. I knew I was off. I knew I was off of work. I did know that. So what are we talking about today, Willie? Man, listen here. All right, so HBCU Spotlight shined on our homeboy Trent Cannon. You know that running back, Trent Cannon? He made the final roster for the Panthers one time, so we're going to go farther into that. HBCU news, ex-Auburn starter Jatarvius Whitlow transfers to Western Illinois. Further in HBCU news, there's been rumored that Deion Sanders' name has come up as a possible head coaching job, HBCU head coaching job. So we're going to read more about that, see if it's true. Then we're going to get into the NBA playoffs. I said we're going to talk about these playoffs. We're going to talk about these playoffs, especially the second round. We'll talk about the closeouts in the first round and get to the second round, because it's very interesting what we got going on in this series with the Nuggets and Clippers series is 1-1. Bucks and Heat 3-1. Lakers and Clippers 1-1. And the Celtics and Raptors 2-2. So we're going to definitely get into the NBA playoffs. But before we get into the playoffs, I'm going to talk about, pay our respects to the legendary basketball coach John Thompson, who died this past week. So definitely going to pay our respects to John Thompson, because he did a lot for the game of basketball, did a lot for black people in the game of basketball. All right, so we'll get to some controversy. Something that's seen as controversial is Steve Nash being hired as the head coach of the Brooklyn Nets. A lot of people call it white privilege. I think this time Charles Barkley had a point, and I'm gonna get into why. I still don't think it's the best hire, but I do think in this point, to be fair, Charles Barkley actually had a point. Then we're going to talk about was going up in arms in some news, some social media sites and some news spaces because Nick Saban and the Alabama team led a march. I'm going to get into that. I'm going to break that shit down. And then former Chicago Bears coach and Tampa Bay Buccaneers head coach Lovie Smith. His son, either Michael or Mikhail, Michael Lee Smith, was indicted after a police investigation accusing him of running a prostitution ring. So he's that weekly rant that we're going to lay into. Crazy-ass little boy. Out the set of net puss. Out there, he think he a pimp. Michael, Mikhail, whatever his name is. But before we get to all of that, man, let's go ahead and get this warm up done. So we got that HBCU. For that HBCU. All right. The homeboy Trent Cannon. After 2 years up north, Trent Cannon has finally found a home straight from the South, or in the South. The former Virginia State running back has made the Carolina Panthers 53-man roster. He was signed by the Panthers on August 3rd, about 24 hours after being waived by the Jets. Funky-ass Jets. He beat out Reggie Bonifant for the third running back role. Cannon will likely play a big role on special teams. Trent Cannon appeared in all 16 games as a reserve running back as a rookie and played 19% of New York's offensive snaps in 2018. But the Hampton native has dealt with foot and ankle injuries last year and was placed on injured reserve November 1st. A two-time HBCU Game Day All-American and CIAA Offensive Player of the Year, Cannon rushed for 4,251 yards in his career, scored 35 touchdowns on the ground his final two seasons at Virginia State University. He's extremely versatile. He caught a career-high 21 passes in 2017 for 3 touchdowns and was also a one-of-a-kind kick returner. He helped lead Virginia State University to an unbeaten regular season and a CIAA championship. He was drafted in the 6th round by the Jets. The team switched coaching staff after his rookie season. He now joins the Carolina Panthers team in the new regime under Matt Rhule, and he backed up with Christian McCaffrey. You know, they got that boy Teddy Bridgewater out there, so Trenton Cannon. That boy Trenton Cannon got an NFL job. That boy Trenton Cannon get that NFL money with the Carolina Panthers. Y'all put your hands together for Trenton Cannon now. Put your hands together. Hey, I need somebody to come and help me turn my life around. He made the roster. He ain't no imposter. We got it. He want that lobster. He getting high up to the sky. And when that ball is in his hand, you know he got to give you that bone. One time for that boy Trenton Cannon. proving that he belonged in the league. Proving that he belonged in the league. Remember, NFL stands for not for long. But he say, I'm going to defy the odds, suckers. For the HBCU spotlight in your face, cause you know I gotta get it, and it ain't no fake, and it ain't no waste, and it ain't no time, cause I gotta go and give it to you with these rhymes coming out my mind, shining, blinding, diamond, bombing. Everybody know they getting hymens. Why did I say that? Everybody getting hymens. Well, hell, they made a song about WAP. Well, getting hymens don't really sound right. That shit, don't say that again. That don't sound right. Cause that sounds like statutory rape. Talking about getting hymens. No, don't say that no more. I know it rhymes. Don't say that ever again in your life. That shit just came out wrong. I was trying to say, I don't know what the fuck I was trying to say. I don't know why I said that. All right, so HBCU news. Former Auburn starting running back Jatarvius Whitlow. And you knew he was going to play for the SEC. Because that's an SEC name right there. Jatarvius Whitlow. That's an SEC name like Barkevious Mingo. Stuff like that. Because them SEC players be having some damn names, man. So, Jatarvius Whitlow has transferred to FCS school, Western Illinois. A team spokesperson has confirmed to ESPN. Whitlow enrolled at the school this week and had his paperwork to join the team processed Tuesday. He led Auburn in rushing in each of the past two seasons, but entered the NCAA's transfer portal in February. He's 6 foot, 210 pounds. And he rushed for 1,500 yards and 16 touchdowns on 306 carries and added 21 catches in a touchdown with the Tigers. So, hell, he should rip it up. But you know what? I think I messed up. I don't think Western Illinois is an HBCU team. And I would wait till now to actually look this shit up. But hey, it's all good. Well, what? Either way, I'm gonna keep talking about it. Western Illinois is not an HBCU. Yeah, hello. We have, okay, so it's a list. I had to bring up my HBCU list. List the HBCUs by state. I think I messed up on that one. But I got to be sure. I like to be sure. Yeah. I don't even think it's an HBCU in the state of Illinois. And nope, it's a bunch of them in Georgia, though. Yeah, it's a number of them in Alabama. Damn, it's a lot of them in Alabama. Arkansas. Yeah, I just learned about Arkansas Baptist College. Well, either way, it ain't no damn HBCU. So what? I fucked up. So what? Damn it, but we gonna finish this shit. So, He got Whitlow got two season eligibility left. So damn it, that's a non HBCU news story. But damn it, I told it in the HBCU news section anyway. Fight me if you don't like it. Damn it. So let's get to some real HBCU news. All right. So that boy Primetime, D.I. Sanders, who I let have it not too long ago, a couple episodes ago, because he's talking that bullshit, trying to pressure people to play during COVID, like they owe him something. Sit your ass down with the ragged ass told Deion. But anyway, Deion Sanders, he just graduated from an HBCU in August, actually. I don't know what's the deal with a lot of people who made it in life trying to go back to school. That shit is stupid to me. It's a waste of time. Like, you can learn more getting you a mentor, a private tutor, and just taking your ass to the library. But anyway, especially at somebody at that stage, if I'm a multimillionaire, why am I going to school? But anyway, could the Pro Football Hall of Famer soon be coaching at an HBCU? So reports are circulating that Sanders might already has met with Jackson State about its recent coaching vacancy. Jackson State departed with ways with head coach John Hendrick on Monday morning. WLBT's Terry Mungrew is reporting that Sanders met with officials when his high school team Trinity Christian played in Mississippi, according to Mungrew. However, Sanders is not a candidate for the Tigers' head coaching position. A source within the university refused the claim, however. According to the source, there was no meeting with Sanders and JSU, and any contract would have been coincidental. Sanders just graduated from Talladega College earlier in August. He's currently the offensive coordinator at Trinity, Texas, but told Dan Patrick he's going to be a college coach soon. Oh, what that mean, Willie? I'm going to be a head coach. I'm going to be a head coach at college football next year. That's my Deion Sanders voice. I'm that definite. I'm that assured that I am. This is something that is my calling. That's my calling. I'm going to coach college football. Head coach, not coach, head coach. That's my Deion Sanders voice. Sanders recently made waves on Twitter with his comments. Yeah. So Jackson State. They said Jackson State may be a landing spot, but it's just rumors. Look at all them rumors about Deion Sanders. Look at all them rumors. None of them about Ned Flanders. So will Deion Sanders be on the Jackson State staff? Will he be a Jackson State head coach? Will he be an HBCU head coach? Will he coach at HBCUs? Will he just coach? Who knows? What's going on with Prime? What's going on with Neon, Deion, Freezon, and Cezon? We don't know, but we're going to keep our eye on the situation that's going on with Deion, Prime, Time, San Deion. So we let y'all know. If we find out anything by Deion, we let you know. Noble. That's what that fake drug boy said the song. Look at all them rumors. Follow me every. What the heck? All right, so before I jump deep into my stories, I do want to mention a couple things. Of course, we all know what I've got to mention is that that boy Leonard Fournette is cut by the Jaguars and recently signed with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I'm not surprised he was cut by the Jags. I'm not surprised he had a history of injuries. I was paying attention to him at LSU. And he was injured pretty much every year at LSU that he was there. Pretty much the same, sustained an injury every year. He may have had one year that he didn't have injuries, but pretty much he sustained an injury every year. His style of play, I'm not sure how well he takes care of his body, but I know he had a history of injuries, so I knew that was going to continue. And I'm not surprised at the production he gave, but I'm also really not surprised he got cut. NFL stands for not for long. You got to produce, and you can't produce when you're injured. And if you're always injured, especially when you're on a sorry-ass team who really don't try to put people around you to make you win, just focus on defense, then they put it all on you, and then you got to carry more load. That makes you more injury-prone and all those different things. So that situation don't surprise me with Leonard Fournette and the Jaguars. He's out of that. I'm sure he's excited to be out of that, right? Buccaneers signed him along with, you know, of course, you know, this offseason. So the big name signings or the notable name signings as far as the free agency and offseason for the Bucs is, of course, Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski. Then I just found this out. I didn't know they signed LeSean McCoy. But that's cool. If I was then, hey, man, you got to keep Shady. You got to keep with the way them offenses and the way he can complement Brady. So I forgot who the Bucs' starting running back is. But so you got the Bucs, you got the running back that they already got there. You got Shady McCoy and Leonard Fournette. Right?
Hold on.
All right, so Leonard Fournette and Shady McCoy both can catch the ball out the backfield. That's big for Tom Brady. With the offense that they already have, then you got backs that can bail the quarterback out. You got two tight ends that can bail the quarterback out. You got three good receivers, two good tight ends, and three running backs. You got one running back that could be a main bell cow. Then you know you can give Fournette the ball, so Andy Fournette can split carries. And then Shady McCoy could be a third down back that you throw the ball to, that you get out there and get in space and stuff like that. Buccaneers got offensive options. Now the defense is the question. And y'all know football back too. Football is back. College football is back. I'm just gonna wait the next week to really get into it, to when we have real college football back next week. And I need to get an antenna for my damn TV so I can watch shit on ABC. Cause I'm tired of missing shit on ABC. But so Leonard Fournette, like I said, just want to mention, Leonard Fournette is now a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. I think he has signed for 1 year, I think. Yeah, he signed a 1 year deal with the Bucs. So we're gonna see how all that work out with Fournette being a Buccaneer, and see if life get better, see if life changes, and see if. I'm really curious to see how far the Bucs go this year. We're doing all this loading up. Got Tom Brady. How far the Bucs actually go in the playoffs this year with all the new toys that they have. See how that works. So, also, quick another mention is shout out to that boy Deshaun Watson for getting that new 4-year, $160 million contract. It's the second largest next to Patrick Mahomes, who's way ahead of him with a $503 million contract for 12 years. So I get that. So Deshaun only signed for 4. Patrick signed for 12. But you get $160 million. I think there's a breakdown of it. Is there a breakdown? I saw a breakdown of the contract earlier. Let me get to this breakdown of this contract so you can see. So 4 years, 160 million. So it says, oh, come on, man. Give me what I need. So no, not this site. But the other one I was looking at. Yeah, Pro Football Talk. All right, so this is the breakdown. So he has a signing bonus of $27 million with half payable in the next 15 days. And that's subject to Deshaun Watson passing the physical.
When Starbucks creamer
becomes shut up, your bitch. Favorite. Ain't nobody can fuck ass come up. Old ass Starbucks. Shit. Nobody like ragged ass Starbucks. But anyway, so he get that $27 million within the next 15 days if he passes physical. With another $6.75 million paid by October 20th and the remaining $6.75 million paid by December 20th. So his 2020 salary would be $1.177 million guaranteed for skill, injury, and no cap. His 2021 salary would be $10.5 million. 2022 would be $35 million. 2023, he can get a roster bonus due the 15th day of 2023 league year. The $17 million guaranteed for injury. That signing bonus guarantee for skill injury, no cap on the fifth day of the 2022 league year. 2023 salary would be $20 million. 2024 salary would be $32 million. And 2025 salary would be $32 million. The deal also includes an annual $500,000 de-escalator if Watson fails to participate in at least 84% of the offseason program. You know, I got all the things, but homie got his money. So one time for Deshaun Watson getting his money. All right, so let's get back into it. Let's talk about these NBA playoffs. So conference semifinals has started for the NBA. And the Heat-Raptors series is an interesting series because, I mean, the Celtics-Raptors. Because the Celtics came out game one and gave it to the Raptors. Matter of fact, the Celtics came out game one and game two and just gave it to the damn Raptors. Jason Tatum, we all know Jason Tatum is special. And he just keeps showing up and keep balling. So Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, them boys do their thing. So in game one, Jason Tatum had 21 points, Jaylen Brown 17. Theus had 13, Kemba Walker had 18, Marcus Smart had 21, Wanamaker had 7. So for the Raptors, Siakam had 13, OG had 12, Gasol had 7, Van Fleet had 11, Lowry had 17, Ibaka had 15, Powell had 10. But you're not going to beat the Celtics the way the Celtics play with Kyle Lowry. Giving 17. Kyle Lowry has to be the leading scorer for the Raptors. He has to drop 20, 30 points in this series. We know he can, but he got to drop that in the series for these boys to beat these Celtics, right? So game one, like I said, game one and game two, the Celtics came out and they jumped on top of the Celtics. So game two, Jason Tatum dropped 34 points on them boys' head in game two. Jaylen Brown gave him 16. Kemba Walker gave him 17. Marcus Smart gave him 19. And Kemba Walker has to score more points as well in this series. We know Jason Tatum is the number one scoring option, but if Jason giving him 30, Kemba got to give him 30 as well, with Jaylen Brown giving at least 20-25, right? But for the Celtics to really reach their potential, them three, Jaylen Brown got to give at least 20-25. Jason Tatum give you 30, and Kemba got to give you 30. But for the Raptors, Kyle Lowry in game two only gave you 16. Siakam gave you 17. OG gave you 20. Ibaka gave you 17. Van Fleet gave you 19. Siakam, OG, Van Fleet, and Lowry got the score for the Raptors. Lowry got the average 30. He got the average 30. Siakam, they paid you, bitch. You got the average 30. I ain't even call you a bitch like that, but you got the average 30. Van Fleet got to give you 20-25. OG got to give you 15-20. Gasol, give him 10-10, Gasol. Ibaka, give him 10-10. Nick Powell, you got D and give him 10-12. Like you got to do it. Like, this series is interesting because it can go either way. I can't call it right now who I think will win this series, but it could go either way because the teams aren't that much that like they're similar. They're similar as far as, I guess, talent. One isn't glaringly better than the other. So I can go back and forth. So game three, but I'm gonna get to game three. I'm gonna get to game three because the Raptors eventually tied the series up. The Heat and the Bucks. Okay, so I am not – okay, so the Bucks just won game four. So the Heat went up 3-0 on the Bucks real quick. The Heat The Heat basically been teabagging the Bucks the whole series. The Heat basically been they took their nuts out and just rubbing their nut sacks all over the Bucks' face. Like, just imagine Jimmy Butler's nuts just rubbing all over Giannis Antetokounmpo's face. Just like, imagine like shaving motions on his face and rubbing it all across his nose, his nostrils and his lips and his eyeballs and shit. Just rubbing their nuts all across the face of the Bucks. So game one, the Heat wins 115-104. Game two, the Heat wins 116-114. Game three, the Heat win 115-100. Right? Jimmy Butler been playing solid ball. So game one, Jimmy gave him 40. Man, they got Jay Crowder out there balling. They got Jay Crowder out there balling. Now, we know Crowder is a good 3-and-D player. He is. Bam Adebayo, game one, gave him 12. Gordon Dragic gave you 27 in game one. Tyler Herro gave you 11. So, the Heat just basically bullied the Bucks in game one. They wanted it more. So game two, the Bucks was like, man, fuck this shit, dog. Oh, we got to come back better than that, dog. We got to do better than that, dog. So game two was better, but the Heat still got the victory, the 116-114 victory in game two. The Bucks did outscore the Heat in the fourth quarter. The Bucks outscored the Heat in the second, third, and fourth quarter. But that strong first quarter that the Miami Heat gave helped, and they were able to hold them off because the Bucks only outscored the Heat by three in the second quarter, by two in the third quarter, and by two in the fourth quarter. But they were outscored by nine in the first quarter. So that's interesting. So let's see. Giannis, game two, Giannis only gave him, Giannis gave him 29 points, 14 rebounds in game two. Middleton gave you 23 points. Game one, Giannis gave you 18 points, 10 rebounds. Middleton gave you 28 points. Lopez gave you 24 points. But it's like the way the Bucks has been playing those first three games, they just didn't have it. It seemed like the Bucks ain't got that sauce, right? So game four, however, well, all right. So I'm gonna get back to the Bucks Heat. I'm gonna get back to that. So game three for Raptors Celtics, right? Game three for Raptors Celtics. The Raptors came out and they said, fuck this. We can't allow these boys to go up 3-0. Can't allow these boys to go up 3-0. So they came out balling. Kyle Lowry gave him 31 points. That gave him 31 points. Van Fleet gave him 25. Siakam only gave him 16, though. Siakam got to pick his game up. OG gave him 12. Gasol gave him 10. So, all right, the Raptors like, all right, we got to win. We back in this thing. We got to win. Game three, we got to win. We back in this thing. Kyle Lowry, go ahead. He gave him that 30. So, we're like, all right, man, we got to do our thing. So, game four of Raptors Celtics, the Raptors got the 100-93 win. So, he got 7-point win. And Kyle Lowry gave 22. So, yeah, all right, but Siakam gave him 23, though. So you got Siakam gave you 23, OG gave you 11, Van Vliet gave you 17, Lowry gave you 22, Ibaka gave you 18, Gasol gave you 4. So that's more of a balance. They're more balanced in how they're doing things. So that's better. So, but the Celtics, Jason Tatum gave you 24, Jalen Brown 18, Kemba Walker 15. The rest of the team were in single digits. So with the Celtics, both teams, they need balance. They need their stars to be stars, and they need their role players to step up. So, as of right now, the Raptors and the Celtics are tied at 2-2, and the Bucks and the Heat are at 3-1. I think the Raptors and Celtics played today. Let's Google. Let's Google what's going on. NBA playoffs today. Let's see. Yeah, so today at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, got Raptors and Celtics. So game five of that series, and then game three of the Clippers Nuggets. And speaking of Clippers Nuggets, so game one Clippers Nuggets was a couple days ago on the 3rd, actually, and the Clippers got a runaway win of 120-97 win over the Nuggets. They rubbed their nuts on their face. So for the Nuggets, Jamal Murray gave you 12, which is not good. Jokic gave you 15. Millsap gave you 13. Grant gave you 12. Morris gave you 12 for the Nuggets. Yeah. You're not going to win. You're not going to beat the Clippers with those numbers. Not going to beat the Clippers with those numbers, especially when Kawhi giving you 18. Paul George got to step his goddamn game up. Come on, Paul George. You got to give us more than 19 points in the playoffs, bro. You need to be averaging 20-25. Actually, you need to be averaging 25-30 in the playoffs, Paul George. You're better than that. But Paul George gave you 19. Kawhi Leonard gave you 29. Marquise Morris gave you 18. And Lou Williams gave you 10. Harrell gave you 15. So, game one, Clippers ran away with that on Nuggets. Game two, the Nuggets came back with a 110-101 victory over the Clippers. Jamal Murray stepped his game up, gave you 27. Jokic stepped his game up, gave you 26. Millsap gave you 13. Harris gave you 13. Morris gave you 10. Porter Jr. gave you 11. For the Clippers, Kawhi only gave you 13. I see why they lost. Kawhi gave you 13. Morris gave you 11. Zubac gave you 15. Paul George gave you 22. Paul George did score more. Lou Williams gave you 13. Green gave you 10. Harrell gave you 10. Yeah, Kawhi got to get more than that if they gonna win the series, which we know they're going to win the series. But so the Nuggets was like, all right, we ain't no bitches. We ain't no pushovers. We finna win us a game. So now it's a 1-1 game. It's a 1-1 series for Nuggets and the Clippers. So the last series is the Rockets and Lakers. And this one, I do expect the Lakers to win this series. But the Rockets are giving the Lakers all that they can have, right? So Rockets go up 1-0. The Rockets take game one of the series. The Lakers are basically chasing these boys around. The Rockets' speed is giving the Lakers an issue. So the Lakers need to change their lineup. The Lakers can't start Anthony Davis and JaVale McGee. JaVale McGee and Dwight Howard will have to come in after spelling Anthony Davis, but the Lakers can only have one big man on the floor, and they need the big man that can exploit the matchups with P.J. Tucker playing the five, right? And Anthony Davis is the best one for that when we come out, but you got to figure out between Dwight Howard and JaVale McGee who can spell him, but which one can give you the best results offensively and defensively. So they do need to start Kuzma. They need to take McGee out, put Kuzma at the 3, LeBron at the 4, AD at the 5, and they'll be able to do some things. So game one for the Rockets, Eric Gordon gave you 23, James Harden gave you 36, Russell Westbrook gave you 24, Austin Rivers gave you 7, Green gave you 7, Covington gave you 6, and shout out to Covington, man. HBCU Spotlight alumni out there balling. Covington knows his role, and he plays his role well. Play defense, get rebounds, be scrappy, don't be no bitch, be a bully, and score when needed. So, and Russell Westbrook is out there. Russell Westbrook is not 100%, but he's a lot more reckless right now, and that's one of the biggest knocks on Russell Westbrook is his recklessness as a player. Now, he's too damn good to still be that reckless. So, but despite all of that, Rockets got the win. So game one, Anthony Davis gave you 25, LeBron gave you 20, Danny Green gave you 10, Caruso gave you 14, and everybody else was just goddamn pedestrian. So Some people are like, damn, well, the Lakers in trouble. I'm like, seen this before. Seen this before. So game two, the Lakers come out and get a 117-109 win. Now, one of the issues is the third quarter. The third quarter. Houston scored 41 points in the third quarter, and L.A. scored 23 points in the third quarter. Houston, the way Houston is playing versus the way L.A. is playing, L.A. has to slow the ball down. They have to punish the Rockets for putting P.J. Tucker at the five. They have to punish that shit. But the Lakers have to play their brand of basketball and bully the shit out of the Rockets and go through all that flugazi, ballerina shit that they got going on and bust them boys in the mouth and make sure you are efficient out there, not turn the ball over. LeBron just need to keep dunking on bitches. Anthony Davis needs to just be a monster out there. But that third quarter, the Lakers, because the Lakers were up by like, they had at least 15, 20 point lead at one point. And Lakers were, they was on top of them boys, but then the Rockets roared back. So it was a 109-117 victory for the Lakers. Should have been a better victory, though. Should have been more. So Eric Gordon gave you 24. James Harden gave you 27. P.J. Tucker gave you 18. Covington gave you 17. Westbrook gave you 10. House gave you 13. And Westbrook was a lot more reckless in this game as well. So now my thing is for the Lakers have to understand, if Westbrook was playing on all cylinders and 100%, you all would really be in trouble. The way the Lakers are chasing the Rockets around on that court, looking lost, it's not good. Danny Green, man, out there looking like, man, fuck, bro. Kyle Kuzma, you're an NBA player. You better than this, man. You got to play bigger and better than what you're playing, Kyle Kuzma. Like, I know they're thinking, like, damn, I wish we could have kept Ingram. Because right now, we know Ingram better than Kuzma. At this point. But game two, LeBron gave you 28-11. Anthony Davis gave you 34-10. So exploiting the matchups, exploiting that P.J. Tucker matchup, because P.J. Tucker can't guard him. He's just the best they got. Rondo gave you 10. Morris gave you 16. Kuzma gave you 13. Caldwell Pope gave you 5. Danny Green gave you 9. So Lakers got to do a better job. Lakers got to do a better job. So the series is now 1-1. And so, like I said, today we have Raptors-Celtics at 6:30 p.m. Today is Monday. And also today we have Clippers-Nuggets at 9:30 p.m. Tomorrow, Tuesday, we got Bucks-Heat at 6:30, Lakers-Rockets at 9. So, I'm looking for the Heat to close out on the Bucks. Game 5, I didn't expect the Heat. I was talking to a gentleman yesterday at the store. He was asking me, did I think that the Heat would sweep the series? I was like, no. I expect the Heat could even lose this game, because in this series I was like, we've seen this before. So the Heat don't have that closeout experience, that closeout team. So I wouldn't be surprised if the Bucks even get another win. If they win tomorrow, I wouldn't be surprised. But I do expect the Heat to win the series. And because the Heat, look, man, Adetokounmpo was out most of this game, this last game, and y'all still didn't close the deal. So y'all got to close the deal. I believe they're going to take the series, but, you know. All right, so I was supposed to do this before I got into the playoffs, but let me do it now. I want everybody to give a moment of silence for the legendary John Thompson. All right, then we got to give a roaring, satisfying round of applause for the career that John Thompson had and the careers that he inspired. So everybody stand up. Give a roaring round of applause for John Thompson, what he did for the game of basketball, and what he did for black people in the game of basketball. Don't get no better. don't get no better. He deserves it. He earned it. He earned it. So legendary head coach of Georgetown University, John Thompson Jr., known simply as Big John throughout college basketball, has died at the age of 78. John Thompson, who led Georgetown to the 1984 National Championship, which is a great year, yeah, I was born, built the program into a juggernaut, taking the Hoyas to three Final Fours in the 1980s, while also winning seven Big East titles and leading the 1988 United States national team to a bronze medal in the Olympics. We are heartbroken to share the news of the passing of our father, John Thompson Jr., the Thompson family said in a statement released by Georgetown. Our father was an inspiration to many and devoted his life to developing young people, not simply on, but most importantly, off the basketball court. He is revered as a historic shepherd of the sport, dedicated to the welfare of his community above all else. However, for us, his great legacy remains as a father, grandfather, uncle, and friend. More than a coach, he was our foundation. More than a legend, he was the voice in our ear every day. We will miss him, but are grounded in the assurance that we carry his faith and determination in us. We will cherish forever his strength, courage, wisdom, and boldness, as well as his unfailing love. We know that we will be deeply missed by many of our family. We know that he will be deeply missed by many, and our family appreciates your condolences and prayers. But don't worry about him, because as he always liked to say, Big Ace is cool. So one more time, and y'all give it up for Mr. John Thompson. Yeah, John Thompson definitely going to be missed. Definitely going to be missed. The impact he had on Allen Iverson, I think, was the greatest on Allen Iverson. Greatest on Allen Iverson. He taught Allen Iverson how to be a man. Now, Allen still had some lessons to learn, but he taught Allen Iverson how to be a man. It's just somebody like George, like John Thompson, man. You got to respect him. You got to respect him. You got to respect John Thompson for what he did. So we're going to celebrate his life. That's what we do. We make sure we celebrate John Thompson's life. Georgetown, all the people, make sure you all, everybody who was inspired by John Thompson, do him a favor and become the greatest version of yourself. How about that? All right, so let's get into some controversy, and let me explain to you why I say I think Charles Barkley has a point. So let me Google real quick, black NBA head coaches hired with no experience. Okay. Because I know Stephen A. Smith and Charles Barkley got into it. And it's funny because, you know, Charles Barkley gave Stephen A. He had a point. Charles Barkley was right. Stephen A. was wrong. So Stephen A. Smith is leading the charge of the white privilege claim, because Steve Nash was hired as the coach of the Nets. I never really was thinking about it as white privilege, for one, because I never really looked and thought that deep about it, to be honest. Never really thought that deep into it, because don't really care that much. I don't think it was maybe the best hire. From all the information, Steve Nash got hired by his home, but don't think it was maybe the best hire, but nevertheless, it was a hire. Hell, I don't give a fuck about the Nets like that anyway. You know? So that was my stance on it. But just trying to listen and see what people are talking about, and Stephen A. Smith going off. I understand going off about it being a bad hire. He doubling down that it was white privilege. Some kind of privilege got something to do with it, because Steve Nash shouldn't have been hired for this. It was better qualified candidates for this job who were, there were some black. You could have hired Sam Cassell, could have hired Mark Jackson, could have hired Tyronn Lue. Derek Fisher is out there. There's a lot of people. Just black coaches off my mind because it's a black show. So off my mind that I'm thinking about that could have been hired. But Stephen A. Smith was, like I said, leading the charge that white privilege has a lot to do with it. So this is what Stephen A. Smith was saying, quoted saying. This is his quote. Steve Nash is a sensational dude. And if anybody deserves this opportunity, absent of the experience that obviously he has as a coach, it's him. Steve Nash, that's my Stephen A. Smith voice. Steve Nash is widely respected and loved by a whole bunch of people in the NBA, black, white, and beyond. Ladies and gentlemen, let me stop. Ladies and gentlemen, there is no way around it. This is white privilege. This does not happen for a black man, no experience on any level as a coach, and you get the Brooklyn Nets job. Sometimes you just want to scream to the high heavens. How the hell is this always happening for somebody other than us? Why is it that we have to be twice as good to get half as much? Well, because you keep trying to be a part of white people's system. You don't have to be. You don't have to try to be white twice as good if you build your own. So why is it that no matter what we do or how hard we work and how we go through the process and the terrain of everything, somehow, some way, there's another excuse to ignore the criteria, to ignore those credentials, and instead bypass it and make an exception to the rule for someone other than us? So that's what Stephen A. Smith was saying. But Charles Barkley was like, well, no, dude, you're wrong. So Charles Barkley just basically like hit him with a fat check gut shot, right? And it said Doc Rivers had no experience when he was hired by the Orlando Magic. Derek Fisher got the Knicks job 10 days after his last game as a player. Isaiah Thomas didn't have experience before he became the head coach of the Pacers. Mark Jackson left the broadcast booth to take the Warriors job with no coaching experience. So that was just a couple, but they say they say numerous of white former players have been job no experience. So let me see there. So in 1995, M.I. Carr became the head coach of Celtics next year. Magic Johnson, Quinn Baker, Paul Silas. So, but we do know that Stephen A. Smith was loud and wrong. I'm not mad at Stephen A. Smith for what he's saying and what he's doing, because, you know, pushing for black coaches to get a job in the NBA. Not mad at that, but he was loud and wrong. And it's like Stephen A. Smith is loud and wrong all the time. So he kind of makes himself look bad in that, because he wants, especially someone who prides himself on knowing his information. But anywho, the Nets hired Steve Nash. And reportedly, Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant signed off on it. They want Nash to be the head coach. So, man, you get what you ask for. So we're going to see. I'm interested to see how Steve Nash does as a coach. said he was a consultant for the team. Now he's hired as a coach. So I'm very interested to see how that happens. We know the Nets got talent, but coaching does help get teams over the hump. If you just want to make the playoffs, go to the second round, you can get any coach and just match them with great talent. Just make sure he can just sort of manage it. But if you want to win the ring, you got to get a coach that can get the players from good to great. And that's the difference between, like, just somebody who's managing people, somebody who's leading people, right? So we're going to see if Steve Nash is just a manager or if Steve Nash is a leader. So now, at the end of the day, I really don't give a fuck, but it's my job to make sure I give you the news, give you the information that's going on. So Steve Nash is the new head coach of the Brooklyn Nets. Now, let's get with the shit. That boy Nick Saban, he leads Alabama athletes on a march to protest social injustice, right? I'm side-eyeing the shit out of this, you know, because we're, especially for all these coaches and all these white people, all these white institutions, I've said it before, I'm going to say it again. Y'all motherfuckers keep showing up late. It's not helping. And y'all motherfuckers keep showing up late just for gestures and shit like this. It's not helping keep black people alive and safe. So Nick Saban, sit your ass down. And y'all stop with all this pointless ass marching that y'all doing, man. Let's get something that can yield some tangible results. Stop doing this dumb shit because everybody else is doing it. Stop being followers and be a leader. What are the tangible outcomes of protesting and marching? That's what I want to know. Not more victories, but what are the tangible outcomes? I'm not saying don't do it, but I'm asking a real good question. What are the tangible outcomes of protesting and marching? Now, if you can't tell me the tangible outcomes, maybe we need to rethink how the fuck we're doing things. So Alabama coach Nick Saban, and he really didn't lead it. They was doing it. They was doing the protest. He asked, they asked them to join, and he joined because he's the coach. He was walking in front. He wasn't really leading that shit, though. But Saban lead dozens of football players and other athletes on a march to protest social injustice and recent incidents of police brutality against black men and women. So what demands were called for? Like, how did that happen? What pressure did Nick Saban put on Tuscaloosa police to make sure they keep all black people safe, not just the black people who making money? So y'all got to deconstruct these shits. Don't just be excited. Ooh, a white boy walked and marched for us, man. The white boy, first of all, the white boy 4 years late. First of all, let's talk about that. The white boy is 4 years late. When Cap was doing this shit 4 years ago, none of these motherfuckers supported this shit. Now, all of a sudden, people have a change of heart because it's now socially acceptable because it keep the money flowing. You don't want to be seen publicly as the motherfucker who is against this shit. Racism is, it evolves. So the group marched the short distance Monday on a school campus from the Maul M. Moore Athletic Facility to Foster Auditorium, where segregationist Governor George Wallace stood at the door in 1963 trying to block the entry of two black students. All right, so what's the point? Crimson Tide athletes, coaches, and staff joined a series of organized events among football players and others and college athletics across the country in the wake of the Wisconsin shooting of Jacob Blake. Such gatherings or marches have been held at schools such as Oklahoma, Kansas, Duke, Baylor, Mississippi State, and others planned. What's the outcome? What's the tangible result for black people? For certain, we can't let this momentum die. Tailback Najee Harris said, this has to be an ongoing movement until change happens. That's not a fucking movement. That's going to create change. It's fucking marching and walking in the street. You might as well run your ass on the treadmill. What's the tangible outcome of you marching and protest? How does this, at the end of the day, suppress white supremacy and keep black people safe? We must do more as a team and as individuals to keep this movement going. Shit, you got to make a real movement first. Harris walked near Saban with a t-shirt reading Defend Black Lives. Other players held signs with messages like Black Lives Matter and Stand for Something or Fall for Anything. All while, y'all got all that going on. All while, the ironic part about this is all happening all while they are making sure they have all y'all black lives out there playing football in the middle of a COVID pandemic so they can continue to get paid. So black lives don't really matter to them because they're for you risking yourself and your health and your life to catch COVID to play a game of football. Because the SEC did not try at all to make sure any players are safe or make sure we play football at a better time. They say, no, we're going to play now because we need this money now. They don't care about black lives. So y'all out there marching. But at the same time, the ironic part is they didn't convince y'all to play football so they can make money off of you all. Yeah, black lives really matter to them. So, and we know for players, they think, well, this is going to help me get to the league and coaches, we need this money. People are being selfish. That's why America has over 4 million cases of coronavirus. America is the dumbest country in the world, and I don't get it. Americans don't really care about their health. Of course, you can see the most obese, the most unhealthy country in the world. And here we are. Mix all that with coronavirus and people who just don't give a shit about shit. So here we go. Hey, if you get coronavirus, stay your ass away from me. If you don't wear a mask, stay your ass away from me. If you wear a mask and let your nose hang out, no, cover your nose, you're a dumbass. I'm seeing full-grown adults walking around with their motherfucking nose hanging out their mask, looking like some damn idiots. I can see a fucking 5-year-old, but a fucking 35, 45-year-old? Yeah, because your nose is not a part of your respiratory system. It's not. You don't breathe in and out of your nose. Stupid asses. And we got to do better, man. We got to do different, man. Especially in our community. And we got to stop falling for anything, just taking any type of gesture as somebody who's for us or as an entity that's for us when they've been silent and turned their back on us and they've been doing it, but making money off us for the longest. That's all these things they're trying to do is trying to continue making money off us. Okay, so the Arizona Attorney General's office says Michael Lee Smith. Oh, hold up. Hold up. It's time for this weekly rant. I forgot to do that the first time. I had to come back and do that. So, former Buccaneers coach Lovie Smith, this has nothing to do with Lovie, all to do with his dumbass, disgusting-ass son, Michael Lee or Mikhail, however the fuck he want to call his name, Mikhail Lee Smith, the son of ex-NFL coach Lovie Smith, and this has nothing to do with Lovie Smith, and he's a former University of Arizona player, has been indicted after a Chandler police investigation accusing him of running a prostitution ring. According to a release between December 2018 September 2019, Smith and Apparel May Ramuson operated and maintained an illegal prostitution enterprise. In one instance, Smith and Ramuson allegedly induced and encouraged an adult female victim to engage in acts of prostitution for over 2 months. Smith reportedly used surveillance and threats of retaliation to keep the victim under his control. It's called the pimp hand, right? It's unclear how many other victims, if any, were involved in this incident. We've reached out to Chandler Police for additional information, says this ABC affiliate. Michael and Mikhail Smith played football for the University of Arizona and was an assistant coach in the NFL for the Bears and Cowboys and Buccaneers. Would be a Cowboy coach. Michael or Mateo, whatever, Smith has been indicted on charges of conspiracy, illegally conducting an enterprise, money laundering in the first degree, pandering, receiving earnings from a prostitute, sex trafficking, and threatening or intimidating. His co-defendant, Apparel Ramuson, was indicted on charges of conspiracy, illegally conducting an enterprise, money laundering in the first degree, and pandering. Boy, you got to be about the dumbest motherfucker alive, Michael or Mikhail Smith, fuckboy Smith. You out here pimping. You have no need to pimp unless you just a fucking idiot with your money. But your father is Lovey Smith. Who used his position to help put you in a position to make your life better. You obviously squandered that shit because your ass now indicted for pimping in the state of Arizona. In the state of Arizona when you... Now, this motherfucker is stupid, man. You deserve to get all the shit that they throw at you. Now, the only thing is, when white boys do this, make sure you get these white boys the same stuff now. But back to your ass. These motherfuckers be throwing their life away with dumb shit. I'm a become a pimp. And I'm going to be bad at it. I'm going to go out here and do all these things and be horrible at it. Pimping is pimping is. You a dumbass. And you look like a bird. Come on, son. I hate to hear this about a black man, but you a dumbass. You a dumbass, and you deserve to get anything and everything they throw at your ass because you shouldn't be out here pimping. I had thinking you fucking Goldie or something. Fake ass Iceberg Slim. Your ass didn't melt it because you ain't talking my shit because you ain't got no ice in your veins. That's why you're sitting here with this silly ass mugshot and here looking like a version of your daddy that he shit out his ass. Because you over here, I'm going to be a pimp. I'm the man. He probably watched the Mac or one of them fuck ass pimp movies. I'm going to go out here and be a pimp. And I'm going to get me these hoes and put me hoes on the street. And now look at your ass. You're going to be a hoe for somebody when they're between your cheeks in these goddamn jail cells. And you out here thinking you tough or thinking you cool, thinking you pimpity pimp pimp material when you ain't nothing but a bitch. Well, you stupid, boy. From your daddy, hey, man, don't talk to me, cuz. Don't talk to me for a minute, because you stupid, cuz. You stupid. Fucking stupid, man. Did all I can to help you. You still come do some dumb shit like this. What you want me to do? What you want me to do to help your dumb ass? You the one out here fucking up your life. All I did, and I'm going to pretend like I'm Levy Smith, all I did was put you in a position to win. All I did was love you, dog. All I did was be there for you, dog. All I did was be there for you. That's all I did was be there for you. Sound like LL Cool J at the end too deep when he found out Omar Epps was actually a police officer. And he said, all I did was be there for you, dog. And you want to go be a pimp and be bad at it and get caught. And ruin your career. Because you, a black man trying to fit into a white person's world with bullshit on his neck. It makes it harder, but you, this is the bed that you made for yourself, and you rolling around with a motherfucker last name Ramuson. You look like they're going to leave you out to dry. They look like they'll snitch on you last name Ramuson. But you look like a bitch in the snitch, and you look like a failure in life anyway. So, there it is. The turds I left out in the toilet this morning have more potential in their life than you, Michael or Mikhail Smith. So, fuck you, Smith. Fuck him. Okay? Fuck him. Smith, Mikhail Smith, fuck you. Go to hell. And somebody should have flushed you down the toilet. Hey, man. Fix Sports Podcast, man. Part one. Remember that a Marlon Napier interview is available now on YouTube. Go check it out. It's also available on the website, www.freedomtrainradio.com. All you got to do is go to the. Let me help you. Let me go ahead. Show you how to do this. So yeah, I do. I'm gonna show you what. So go to Freedom Train website. You'll see a tab that say Freedom Train Network. Hover your mouse over that, bam, drop down box in your face. In that drop down box, you're gonna see the Freedom, the Fixed Sports, the Fixed tab, bam, go to that. Hit season 5. And it's there. All is there. Episode 29. Going down. Episode 29. So all that in your face, man. I am Joseph Ward. This is the Fix Sports Podcast. Make sure y'all support me on Patreon at patreon.com/thefix. Visit our website, www.freedomtrainradio.com. Download these episodes. Say download these episodes. Tell a friend, say, subscribe to that YouTube channel, subscribe to that YouTube channel, Freedom Train Network, subscribe to the YouTube channel, become a patron, man, make sure y'all support this movement that we got going on, Freedom Train Network, and especially what we got going on with the Fix Sports Podcast. I am Joseph Ward, I love y'all, it's episode 29, we got 2 more episodes left in the season, they were taking a little reboot and come back with season 6 all in your face. So, man, 2 fingers in the air, man. 2 fingers. And I'm good.
I am the greatest. I am the president.
President, we need the National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back, Jack. And it is 4-1.
Come on, ball. Jackson has it. The All-American tight end is going in. And Oklahoma takes the lead on a 71-yard touchdown play.
I was going to rip his heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lennox is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody as ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm finished.